welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Capital City Cavaliers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McAravey and Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And before we start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Kyle's conversation with Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier.
Well, Coach, it looked like that was a heck of a game last week. Very back and forth. Had a chance to look over. Does anything new jump out at you about Friday night?
During the game, I just love the way the spirit of my guys and in the way that we seem to, through the course of the year get better. And that's what you want. Of course, you want to win that game, but if losing that game is a product of us getting better and winning later on, that's a good thing too.
A little last week about you wanting to come out and compete against these top teams, mm-hmm. The teams with some prestige to them. You did that with Camdenton, came out with a win a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. and you really competed last week. So what did you see that you liked out of just, being able to come out and stay with a team with an offense as highly powered as Quincy's?
Well, that's what you aim to do. When you have a football team and you're building one, and we just want to be competitive. We just want to, when people mention us, we want to be in the talks. We want to be always in the fast heats. So I think we're getting there.
And getting into district play now. You guys come in, get a quick rematch, not just a team you played this season, but a team you played just a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So what are you taking out of the last time you guys matched up with Sedalia as you get ready for this week?
Well, really, we kind of really want to start new with this matchup here. We thought that we came out a little sluggish because of the week before, and we had some confidence issues and just a lot of things personally going against us, a lot of self-inflicted things that I think that we've grown from since the last time we played these guys.
All right, that was Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier. And just to give you a peek behind the curtain, the reason we got a little bit of a three-headed monster going on this week is that Kyle was unable to cover last week's game, so Trevor stepped in and filled in admirably. So we'll talk to Trevor before we talk to Kyle about the upcoming game. So let's look back to last week. You got your first look at as the Cavaliers beat reporter last week for a 41-32 loss to Quincy that looked like by all intents and purposes to be a very entertaining game.
So yeah, no team loves to hear the words moral victory, and they were kind of reluctant to say it themselves after the game, but there's no other way to walk out of that game other than to be pretty happy with how they played.
Sure.
Quincy, Illinois obviously came in undefeated. They had not played a game closer than 22 points all year.
Right.
And I think kind of the game plan for Capital City was to stay in that game, look up in the fourth quarter, see it be a close game, and see all the pressure switch to them because they had never experienced that before.
Well, that's an excellent point. I don't want to cut you off short, but I do want to ask, did you get a feel like how long did it take before they realized, hey, we're in this one and we've got a shot to maybe pull off an upset here against a team that was ranked, number 2 in Class 7 in Illinois?
So I think there was two major turning points in the game. Early on in that game, I think Capital City kind of sent a physicality message that they weren't just going to be walked all over.
Okay.
And that seemed like what Quincy had done all throughout the season. It seemed like they hadn't really been tested. And then you fast forward to towards the end of the first half, Capital City goes on a two-minute drill, scores a touchdown. We'll get to Marcus Driver in a little bit, but that was, of course, Marcus Driver. He ends up with three touchdowns on the day. They take a 24-21 lead with 18 seconds left in the first half.
Okay.
And that's kind of the moment where you look at that Quincy sideline and things are kind of stirring a little bit, and it's, okay, this is going to be a game. And then they respond with Jarius Rice Jr. taking the ensuing kickoff 98 yards to the house.
Right.
So it went from Capital City being up 3 points, getting the ball off half with an opportunity to go up 2 scores, to all of a sudden sudden they're down four, and a touchdown only puts them in front by three again. Yeah. So that was a huge turning point in the game, and that's kind of, and Collier said this to me afterwards, that they let them off the hook a little bit there. They kind of had them in the exact position that they wanted them, and then a huge kickoff return right before the half kind of shifted the momentum, kind of probably put a damper on the mood in the locker room for the Cavaliers. Yeah. And then the other major turning point was late in the game. Capital City gets a stop on fourth down at like the Quincy 12 or 14 yard line, somewhere in there. And they're down by 4 points at the time with a chance to take the lead, and Capital City wasn't able to do anything from it. Turns the ball over on downs right there.
Okay.
And then Quincy goes down, makes it a two-score game. Cap City was never able to recover from that. So there was two major points in the game that Cap City's probably looking back on, kind of kicking themselves a little
bit.
But all in all, it's hard to be kind of discouraged with the way they performed against a team that was that good.
Yeah. And Kyle and I talked about this a little bit last week in the preview for that game in terms of, you know, this is one of those games that can springboard you in, you know, if you play well or if you pull off an upset or even if you have a close loss like this one was, that can be a great springboard for what we'll talk about here shortly when we start talking about now we're in the postseason. So I got to think that that's just, you know, only good things probably came from this. Like, say, even with it being, you know, a moral victory, not an actual victory, I think this is a kind of a game that can go a long way towards maybe sparking something at this point in the season.
Yeah, and there was huge things to build off in the game. Obviously, I alluded to Marcus Driver's performance a little bit, but I also want to talk about Evan Schaefer. Obviously, he's having a fantastic year. He's been really efficient throwing the football.
Right.
Against a really good secondary last week, Evan Schaefer looked comfortable. He was extending plays outside the pocket. And then now you get into Marcus Driver, who puts up three touchdowns and like 120 yards receiving. Obviously, both career highs for him. And that is something that they can definitely build off of. It's obviously, teams are going to be looking at Marcus Driver a little bit different now. That opens up opportunities for DeMarcus on the other side. And obviously, the Cap City running game is their bread and butter. So the more and more they can build off that passing game, the easier and easier it gets to run the football. And Quincy lined up with eight people around the line of scrimmage, and they were pretty content to do that for a long time.
Okay.
Majority in the first half. And Cap City basically passed their way into more opportune personnel that they could run the football against. Jalen Thomas goes down in the third quarter. That kind of complicated things for Cap City a little bit. They finished that drive with a touchdown, but they weren't able to score any points off of that. And you kind of look at that fourth down stop that they got stopped on deep in Quincy territory, and you think that's probably the situation where things might have been a little bit different with them.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, all in all, a lot of positives to build off for the Cavaliers.
Well, and I don't think it's a small thing to lose a player of that stature, right? And who's such a big part of what you do. So that does have to make you have to make some big adjustments on the fly. And yeah, like I say, maybe it didn't work out because you weren't able to get any points after that. But that's one of those things where it was maybe another one of those, I don't know, teachable moments or those learning moments where you can kind of go, okay, something like this may happen at some point in the season. We got to know how we're going to play if something like this does happen. So while you don't go into the game going hoping your best player gets hurt, you go, well, we've seen that if it happens, the world doesn't just fall apart. So another learning moment from a game against a very, very good opponent.
Yeah, and it was a situation where Robert Pates was able to step into a situation. I think he ended up second on the team in rushing yards for that game. So it's not like the backups came in and weren't able to produce anything. They were able to move the ball even when Jalen was out. They just weren't finishing the drives.
Right.
So it was still good. It just wasn't exactly how they wanted it to end up, but you can't walk out of that game and say that team's nothing without Jalen Thomas, because they were able to show that they can move the ball against a good team without him.
Yeah. So we'll bring you in at this point, Kyle. I think both Trevor and I think this one was a pretty good loss. You've talked to Coach since then. How did he kind of think? Did he think what we're thinking, or was he kind of maybe disappointed in how that one went?
Before I answer that, I'm just going to say watching the podcast happen live is very fun. Coach Collier was pretty convinced on kind of the same idea that you guys are, where, you know, he and I have talked a few times this year about how the Cavaliers have struggled a bit, you know, showing up against the best opponents they play, like they, you know, struggled with against Helias.
Right.
They didn't really have that problem against Rockbridge this year, but it's been a problem before.
Sure.
And the past two games with Camdenton and with Quincy, the Capital City's done just a fantastic job winning the game against Camdenton and then staying with a very good Quincy team as long as they did. Coach Collier is very pleased and I think proud of the performance that the guys put up. And you mentioned earlier trying to use that as a springboard game. I think, you know, last time they played Sedalia was right after the loss to Helias. And I think a lot of the problems in the Sedalia game were because of a bit of, you know, disheartening feeling around the locker room.
Right.
And that's not there this time.
Yeah. So let's set the scene then, because that's going to be the district opener. Capital City 6-3 now. They're going to be playing 2-7 Smith Cotton at 7 o'clock tonight on the district opener. It's not all that long ago that you got to play this team. So it's not like you've kind of forgotten, or, you know, it's not like if you met this team in week 1 and you're seeing them again now in week 10 and you're going, oh, they might have changed substantially. I don't get the feeling that probably either of these two teams has changed hardly at all since the 3 weeks that they played. But maybe that's, you know, there's always going to be new wrinkles. So I guess I'll just ask you, how much do you kind of expect this game to go similarly to how it went last time, which was only a 21-14 victory for the Cavaliers?
The more complex answer is, I think it'll go kind of differently. I think there's a lot of factors, like the not having the, you know, confidence issues that might have been around after the loss to Elias, feeling a lot better about the team as a whole coming off of last week versus that weekend. There is a big change within the teams coming into this week because, as Trevor mentioned, Jalen Thomas got hurt at the end of last game and is out. Coach Collier said, you know, he could have played again at the end of last week. He could have come back in. He could play this week if they thought they really needed him to. So there's a possibility he might dress and, like, you know, be an emergency running back
if
something were to happen. But they are going to, you know, try to keep him out of the game, if possible.
So I guess that bears a couple follow-up questions. The first being, do you think there will be a point at which maybe if those ones close, like the first meeting was, how hard will it be not to panic and go, we got to bring Jalen? You know, if there's a chance where you go, he could turn the tide of the game, how hard is it going to be to maybe just go, nah, let's keep him where he is, because that's what we should probably do?
I mean, you know, if we were talking about this going into the last time the teams matched up, you know, week 8 at Sedalia, or week 7 at Sedalia, and, you know, it's tied in the fourth quarter at 14, yeah, that's a pretty tough decision then, but I think it's easier than it would be now when you're talking about, like, we're looking at the end of the season.
Right.
If this one doesn't go the right way, the year's over.
We're
losing however many seniors, key positional guys who are not going to be back, and this opportunity's done. I think if it's close late, if they're winning, they're going to do anything they can not to get him in the game. If it's, you know, tied in the fourth quarter, that becomes a really hard question to ask.
And then you almost have to do the math of, okay, what percentage is he by game time? And so then you go, okay, if he's only 50%, then I don't care if it's a tie game, you're probably not still bringing him in. But if he's like 75%, do you go, oh, it's a tight game, 75% Jalen's better than something other option? You know, I guess it's just going to be one of those, you know, that's why coaches have the hard job of figuring out what to do and who to sub when.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the confidence that you can have with the way the passing game played this past week kind of opens up the discussion to keeping him out more.
Right?
Because it doesn't have to be like we're running up the gut no matter what happens, and Jalen's the one who does that best.
Right?
You had a very good passing performance against a team with, I would guess, a better secondary than Sedalia has.
Sure.
Confirmed. Seen both.
Yeah. You know, if you're able to do that against Quincy, you should be able to do that against Sedalia.
Right.
You know, Trevor mentioned Quincy was lining up 8 guys in the box. Well, Sedalia did that too. Every team's done that against the Cavaliers this year. So, you know, if you're able to pass out of that and get into a more natural defense, you know, force Sedalia into playing 6 guys in the box instead of 8 guys in the box, then that leaves open chances for Isaiah Franklin and Robert Pates and Jaquarius Richardson to be able to do the job effectively enough that Jalen doesn't have to come in.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that you want to kind of get to as well, is it's, you're hoping that the next man up, as they always talk about, is the one that can fill the role, you know, and this is going to be an opportunity for some other guys. And so it may be the sort of thing where we may not have to worry about the question of does Jalen come in later, because it may not be a thing depending by the time you get to the fourth quarter, if the backups are able to do what they can possibly do and have some success behind, you know, the same old line. Mm-hmm. It's not like you've lost everybody. You just lost one piece of that. So maybe those other pieces that come in can fill that role.
Well, yeah, and, you know, Isaiah Franklin's been very good all season as the second back option. Jacorius Richardson was the one who powered Capital City to the win the last time they played Sedalia.
Right.
Right? He had two touchdowns in that game and two touchdowns against Camden, and he's a very good option. And then Robert Pates has played very well in stints, apparently played pretty well last week after Jalen went out. So, you know, that's three solid options. The rotation isn't as deep as it is when Jalen's available.
Sure, sure.
But it's just not going to be when you lose your number one option. But I think those three, plus being able to throw the ball more effectively than they have been kind of earlier in the season,
right,
makes up that difference.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, it's all of a piece, but it does make this one of the more probably intriguing 2-7 matchups we've had in districts, you know, in recent memory, where sometimes you go, those 2-7 games sometimes are just a route, you know, where you go, okay, I think the combination of the close result last time and missing your star player just makes this one a whole lot more worrisome for Cavaliers fans than I think you would normally be heading into a 2-7, you know, first round of districts matchups.
I can see where that's coming from. I mean, if you lose, you know, any team that loses a guy who might go Division One,
right,
who's taken, you know, unofficial visits to Division One schools as a junior, that's a big thing to lose. I think the combination of how well the Cavaliers have played the last couple of weeks and where they're at confidence-wise versus the last time they played Sedalia, where even when they were making a lot of mistakes, they still got the win.
Right.
I think the confidence is still probably feeling pretty high.
Yeah. So the other thing, too, that I think that you kind of have to look at is just from the standpoint of it is a Smith-Cotton team that's given up points to a lot of other teams on their schedule this year, and that happened to be one of their better, better defensive offerings. So I guess I kind of wonder, is can they replicate that this time around? You know, and is that the sort of thing where you go, okay, that was maybe a fluke last time, them being able to, you know, hold Cap City to 21, or, you know, are they, you know, suddenly being able to replicate that now?
I think part of it is, and I think we talked about this on maybe the Camdenton preview pod, Sedalia was following a model that Helias laid out the week before.
Sure.
That worked very effectively against what Capital City was doing. The Cavaliers have kind of added in some new wrinkles,
right,
we'll say, at least according to Coach Collier, moving forward, some different blocking schemes, some different, you know, play design a little bit here and there that I think can kind of neutralize what Helias laid out as the effective way to stop the Veer.
Right.
Right. So they've had 3 weeks now to kind of make those adjustments, figure out what exactly it was about that game plan that worked so well, and, you know, make the changes necessary to kind of neutralize the adjustment to the adjustment, right?
Right.
One team shows how to beat you, well, you got to figure out a way to make it so other teams can't beat you that same way.
Well, right.
And I think the Cavaliers have implemented enough stuff that it should look a bit better.
Yeah. And I think it's worth noting, too, that, we've mentioned the Quincy game where obviously the Cap City defense gave up 41 in that one, and the Elias game where they struggled and gave up 33. But I think other than that, you know, the last 6-7 weeks, other than those two games against two very fine opponents, mm-hmm, the defense has been pretty stout and played very well. So, I also don't think this is the sort of thing where, you know, do I expect a shutout tonight? No, but I also wouldn't be surprised if the defense comes out and plays very, very well and helps, you know, take some of that pressure off an offense where it might still be trying to figure out what to do without its number one option.
Yeah, and that was another thing about that Sedalia game where, like, you know, you're coming off a game where your defense got beat pretty good.
Right.
And kind of the same idea as, you know, stopping the offense is Helias laid out a game plan to work through the defense.
Sure.
And, you know, it was a certain type of power running scheme that worked very well for Helias, and it worked pretty well for Sedalia last time, too. Sedalia doesn't have the same talent as Helias, so it got 14 points instead of 30.
33. Yeah.
You know, but it was another thing of, like, following the game plan from the week, from another team from the week before that,
right,
had been shown to work, and Capital City has spent the last few weeks ironing out why that was able to work against,
sure,
them and neutralizing it,
yeah,
better.
we spent plenty of time talking about one particular injury. I guess I'll just ask you, are there anything else that's of concern for the Cavaliers head in tonight's game?
Nope. Everyone else who's expected, or, you know, you would expect going in, is expected to play.
All right. Fantastic. All right. I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast. Let's ask you, who comes out on top tonight and how close is this one?
I think Trevor had picks in the paper this week.
I did.
And he asked me.
Don't use his, though.
Well, I wouldn't, but he asked me when I came into the office today what I thought was fair.
Right.
And I said 28-14, Capital City.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Kyle McRavy and Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Ollie saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Kyle McRaevey on Twitter at Kyle_McRaevey, McRaevey. Thanks for listening.